Good morning, Mr. Hampton.
Good morning. Mr. Rungor is expecting me.
I know, sir. Will you please come this way?
Nice and cool in here, out of the street.
Yes, it is very cool in here. Mr. Rungor is in his office. Mr. Hampton to see you, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Hampton. This is a great pleasure.
Good morning, Mr. Rungor.
I had heard that you were in Bombay.
The news gets around, eh?
When it concerns an eminent lover of precious stones such as yourself, naturally we hear of it.
Very nicely put. I always love coming to Bombay. I'm on my way home to London, catching this afternoon's plane.
And of what service can I be to you, Mr. Hampton?
I'd like you to look at this. I bought it yesterday.
Thank you.
I know you're the one jeweler in Bombay who can identify it.
The black ruby.
That's what I hoped you'd say. A cabochon ruby. Weight, 202 carats. Color, almost violet.
I know all about it. I handled it once. There is no other ruby like it in all the world.
I backed my hunch. I knew I'd got a bargain.
It depends what you mean by a bargain, sir. I would not buy it at any price. Money is not everything, even to a jeweler. Mr. Hampton, do not keep it.
But what's wrong? What you don't mean...
Get rid of it, no matter what the cost. Give it away. It is not called the Black Ruby for nothing. It will bring you disaster and death.
BBC presents A Case for Dr. Morell, another adventure by Ernest Dudley, with Cecil Parker as the famous Dr. Morell and Sheila Sim as his secretary, Miss Frail. The Black Ruby.
What's that noise? Sounds as if something's gone wrong. What of the engine?
What? Well, I can't see anything out of this window.
Well, I've thrown enough to know something's up.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Captain Rawlinson speaking to you. I have to report that we have an emergency. One of the engines has just cut out. Now a second has let us down.
I knew it was something.
What the devil's going to happen, eh?
Well, we'll soon know.
We also have what we term a runaway propeller, and we have come too far over the Indian Ocean to turn back. So I intend to ditch.
I hope there are no sharks down there.
I can't swim. I can't swim.
There is no cause for alarm. A ship is below us. We are in radio contact with her, and she is aware of our plight. Please put on your life jacket, fasten your safety belt, and follow the instructions of the stewardess. Don't panic, and good luck.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. You're Mr. Hampton.
Yes. Dr. Morell's expecting me.
Yes, I know, Mr. Hampton. Come in.
What are you staring at?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I just...
What?
I can't help wondering what it must be like to have gone through what you did and find yourself back in London alive.
That's pretty good, Miss Frail.
Oh, I'm so sorry if it annoyed you. Will you come...
Mr. Hampton, that what you're telling me is merely the after effects of shock. Your wife must have been profoundly affected when she heard about the airplane.
No, it wasn't until after she knew about the Black Ruby. Now, she's convinced, Dr. Morell, this hoodoo threatens our lives. And, of course, she's got the air crash to support it.
And your wife is adamant that you get rid of it?
It's ludicrous to believe that an inanimate object can possibly influence anyone's life.
I fear that superstition dies hard. I don't have to tell you how many people agree with your wife.
The jeweler I took it to in Bombay to okay it told me he wouldn't handle it at any price. Warned me it would bring death and disaster. I haven't told my wife that, or what about the other chap?
Who was that?
The man I bought it from. Now, he came to my hotel just before I left and confessed he hadn't told me about its evil reputation. I privately decided he wanted to get it for another customer who was offering more than I'd pay.
Possibly. You have no reason to believe that there is any other motive behind your wife's objection to its remaining in your possession?
Sonia is a bit neurotic, has been for some time.
Before this present matter?
Yes, she's been very nervy, full of silly fears.
To what do you attribute her state of mind?
Well, I'm a rich man. Perhaps that's the trouble with Sonia. I mean, she's got everything she could want, money and security.
The two are not necessarily synonymous. For example, the fact that you yourself are wealthy enough to be able to follow your bent may be a reason for your wife to feel insecure.
I don't understand.
You travel in quest of precious stones such as this ruby.
Yes, I do.
Does your wife accompany you on these journeys?
Sonia hates traveling. She's not particularly interested in precious stones.
Consequently, your marriage suffers from long absences away from her. You appear independent of her, and a situation is created in which the seeds of insecurity are sown in your wife's mind.
I hadn't looked at it that way before, but it's become much graver the past few days since I got back. Sonia's deadly serious about this, and I'm afraid she might do something drastic.
Has your wife any special interests with which to occupy her mind?
Well, she does plenty of entertaining. I mean, lots of friends. Too many, unfortunately.
What is so unfortunate about making friends?
Well, she's an extremely attractive woman, Doctor. Plenty of men always around her.
I see.
I mean, one chap she's got in tow now. Well, I don't mean there's anything to it, but he's a bit of a no-good. Doctor, I was wondering, I don't know how to get Sonia to come and consult you as a patient.
I understand, yes.
But I'm giving a little dinner party the day after tomorrow. I'd like you to come and meet her. I don't know if you're interested in precious stones.
I should like to meet your wife.
Fine. I'm very grateful to you.
I'll confirm with Miss Frail if I'm free that evening. She's in the laboratory. Miss Frail?
Coming, Doctor. Oh, dear.
What is it?
Let it test you. I nearly knocked it down.
Well, I shouldn't do that, my dear Miss Frail. We don't want to be annihilated by poisonous gas.
Oh, you don't mean, Doctor.
Oh, no, it's all right, Miss Frail. I was merely joking.
Oh, you made my heart turn over.
As if I would leave anything of that nature there while you were about...
Oh,
have I any evening engagement the day after tomorrow?
I don't think so, Doctor. I'll just check.
Are you interested in precious stones, Miss Freya?
Oh, they're very pretty, yes. But I've never owned any, except a brooch my grandmother gave me, which I'm afraid I lost.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You wouldn't be if you'd seen the brooch.
Yes, it was rather hideous.
I was wondering if you'd care to come to dinner with Dr. Morell. You might like to see this ruby I've been telling him about.
Oh, I'd love to. No, we've no engagement, Doctor, that evening.
Good. I'll expect you both.
I'll show you up.
There you are, driver.
Thank you, sir.
Sonia, you there?
I'm just coming down.
Can I give you a sherry?
No, thanks.
Sure?
Yes, quite sure.
I'll go and give myself one. By the way, I've asked Dr. Morell to our little dinner party.
Oh, yes?
And Miss Frail, his secretary, is coming too.
I wish you weren't asking anyone at all.
Why, Sonia?
You know why. And you know why you're asking the others. Just to show off that horrible ruby.
Oh, Sonia, my dear, do
try. Oh, you can laugh at my
fears.
But
I'm not laughing. It's only that I want to reassure you.
You can do that by getting rid of it. I won't feel safe until you do.
But, Sonia...
Even if you have to give it away. If you loved me, if I really meant anything to you, you'd do as I asked. What's that?
The ceiling.
The chandelier.
Look out! Quick! It's all right, Sonia. You're all right.
It might have killed us. It might have killed us.
It must have been too heavy for the ceiling.
It's the ruby. The black ruby.
Lovely, Sonia.
Aubrey, dear, you always say that to me.
Well, I always mean it. That's what's so marvelous about you. It doesn't matter if I see you for lunch or if we're racing or... Oh, well, I like you are now. In a heavenly dress, you always look wonderful.
I'm glad you liked my dress. It's the first time out.
I hope you didn't mind my nipping in before the others arrived. It was a chance to see you alone.
No, of course not. Will you have some more sherry?
Yes, thanks. What's this about this Dr. Morell coming?
Oh, I suppose Guy thinks I need a psychiatrist. You know, this fuss I'm making about his ruby.
Doesn't trust for wifely intuition.
Oh, let's not talk about it. I know something terrible's going to happen, but it's no good.
I want to talk about it, Sonia. I want to try and help you.
But if Guy won't get rid of it, what can you do?
Well, I don't know exactly, but at least you know I'm sympathetic.
You're awfully kind, Aubrey.
How can I help it? You know I'd do anything for you.
You shouldn't talk like that.
I can't bear to think of you worrying, Sonia. Supposing something did happen, I agree with you. This thing may have some ghastly hoodoo on it. Surely the chandelier yesterday wasn't...
Oh, that was terrible. We might easily have been killed.
If I were your husband, I wouldn't hesitate...
Hello, Aubrey.
Hello, Guy.
The others haven't arrived yet, Sonia, my dear?
No.
I was a little early, I'm afraid. My watch was fast.
Got a drink, I see.
Yes, thank you.
What wouldn't you hesitate about if you were Sonia's husband? Weren't you saying something when I came in?
Yes, I was telling him about the chandelier crashing down.
Yes, it sounds a darn near thing.
It was horrible.
But I can't attribute it to anything supernatural. I mean, if that's what Sonia's trying to make you believe.
You seem pretty sure of that.
Do you believe in the evil eye?
I don't know that I believe in it. I like to keep an open mind.
Well, as I've tried to explain to Sonia, the blessed chandelier might have fallen at any time. The fool who put it up screwed it into the last and plaster instead of beams it should have
done. Sounds like Bill and Helen.
Oh, hello, Sonia.
Hello.
Hello, Guy.
Nice to see you, Helen. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Helen, darling. How nice of you to come. Hello, Bill.
Oh, good evening, Sonia. Oh, hello, Guy. Good evening, Aubrey.
Hello there. Hello, Helen.
Why, it's dear Aubrey.
Well, I hope it won't be too stodgy an evening for you.
Stodgy? What's stodgy about a whacking great ruby?
When are we going to see it?
Well, I'm going to keep you in suspense for a bit.
Must we see it at all?
Share it for you, Helen?
Oh, thank you, Guy.
You use the cocktail, won't you, Bill?
Oh, thanks. What's the matter, Helen, darling?
It's nothing.
What is it? Nothing, really.
I wasn't sure that we ought to have come.
Oh, do shut up, Bill. I'm perfectly
all
right.
Knock back some sherry. Come on, it'll do you good.
Yes, Miss Frayne and Dr. Morell.
Good evening, Mr. Hampton.
Now, let me introduce everybody. Now, this is my wife.
How good of you both to come.
How do you do?
How do you
do? Good evening. Mr. and Mrs. Reynolds, Dr. Morell, Miss Frayne.
Good evening. How do you do?
Good evening.
Good evening.
And this is Mr. Aubrey Green.
Oh, hello there.
It's all right, Sonia. I hadn't forgotten.
How do you do, Mr. Green?
Good evening.
What about a drink, Miss Frail? A sherry or a cocktail?
Thank you. I'd like a sherry.
Doctor?
I would like some sherry.
You know, this is a very great thrill for us, Dr. Morell, the famous criminologist in person.
It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Well, I suppose you're used to being asked about crooks and crimes, eh, Doctor?
The subject seems to arouse a certain amount of interest.
It must be fascinating.
And what about you, Miss Frail? How does this life of excitement agree with you?
Oh, one grows used to it, you know.
I fear Miss Frail is growing increasingly blasé.
But I expect it all becomes routine, coping with criminals and misfits.
Even murderers don't come off a conveyor belt, Mrs. Hampton. Each is an individual human being.
You know, I bet you're always being asked the old jackpot question, Dr. Morell. Why are you so interested in a lot of thugs and killers?
Yes, it's a question that often comes up.
And what's the answer, Doctor?
There, but for the grace of God, go I.
You mean anybody might be a criminal, whoever he is, according to the way he's brought up?
In other words, environment makes the murderer.
Precisely.
Well, shall we go in and have dinner?
Jolly good idea. I'm starving.
Well, come along then, everybody.
I'm mad about this brandy, Guy.
Glad you like it.
Oh.
What's the matter, Aubrey? Were you hoping he'd ask you to have some more?
Yes, I was, rather.
Oh, don't be silly, Guy. Of course you can have some more.
Of course, my dear Aubrey.
Thank you.
How about you, Dr. Morell?
No, thank you.
Would you like some more coffee, Miss Frail?
Yes, just a little, please.
Bill, another spot of brandy?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks.
I'd like some more coffee. Here you are, Helen.
Oh, thanks.
I say, isn't it about time the big moment arrived?
Ah, yes, the ruby.
Oh, I'm longing to see it.
Are you, Miss Frail?
It sounds fabulous.
Guy... You're not really going to show it around.
At least there's no enormous chandelier hanging over our heads.
Please. I wish you wouldn't.
Oh, we must now, Sonia. It'd be like asking us here under false pretenses. Don't you agree, Dr. Morell?
I should be interested to see it.
Dr. Morell, you say it's a lot of nonsense that it can affect the lives of my husband or me.
On the contrary, I would say that it has obviously made a great impact upon you.
Well, it would certainly affect my bank manager's view of me if I owned the thing.
It's funny, but... I've never been mad about jewelry. I don't know why.
Oh, very convenient for your boyfriend, Miss Frail.
To you, Dr. Morell, I suppose I'm being foolish and hysterical, believing that merely by its presence here, the ruby can cause something dreadful to happen.
There have been many jewels which have supposedly exerted a baleful influence over their owners, rubies particularly, perhaps because of their blood-like color, and they originate from the mysterious...
The Orloff ruby, for instance, and the Great Mogul.
Despite these legends that have grown up about them, however, examination of the facts fails to support the notion that either good or evil follow in their wake. Obviously, they attract violence because of their value. And to possess them, people have gone to extreme lengths. Even murder.
Oh, so it's not the ruby, it's those who want it who caused the trouble, eh?
What about that dreadful plane crash? If Guy hadn't had the ruby on him, it would never have happened. And the chandelier yesterday.
The accidents you mentioned both have logical explanations.
Well, let's look at this wicked old jewel anyway. Come on, Guy, I'll take a chance.
Yes, looking at it can't do any harm, surely.
I think you're mad.
Here, please.
Oh, do show it us, old chap.
Right. Here it is.
Have you had it in your pocket all the time?
Yes, in this little case.
So that's why you spilt the soup.
Open the case, Guy.
There you are.
Oh, it's absolutely marvelous.
It's wonderful. It's such a fantastic color.
Almost, well, more violet than red. Well,
that's why it's called the Black Ruby, because it's so dark.
One reason, yes.
It's because of its black history, because of the death and tragedy it's brought.
May I hold it, Mr. Hampton?
Of course. Look, I'll take it out of its case.
Thank you.
Don't drop it, Miss Frayle.
Oh, of course I won't, Doctor. Oh, it's just like having something alive, there in one's hand, almost as if it's breathing.
Breathing fire, eh, Dr. Moreau?
Very impressive.
After you, Miss Frayle. It's the only chance I'll ever get of holding so much money in the hollow of my hand.
There you are, Mr. Green.
Thank you. Oh, yes, it certainly is out of this world. What's its weight, Guy?
202 carats.
How old would it be?
It's been in one Maharaja's family for 300 years.
I haven't got it, Aubrey. Helen would like to see it, wouldn't you, Helen?
Helen, what's wrong?
What's the matter, Mrs. Bell?
She's faint. Helen, darling. Yeah, Dr. Morell, quick.
If somebody would open the window.
It's got a bit stuffy in here, yes.
I'll open it.
Oh, that's better. Lovely, cool air. Is she all right, Doctor?
There's nothing to worry about.
She's coming round.
What happened?
Oh, it's all right, darling.
Not
it's
to
right.
worry, my dear. You're among friends now.
I felt everything. It went black.
Just a slight fainting attack.
I've never done anything like this before.
Well, I thought you weren't looking so good before we came.
Feeling better?
I think I'd like to rest.
Yes. I'll take you home. Dear.
Yes, please. I'm so sorry, Sonia. Do forgive me, Guy.
Well, of course. So sorry it happened. I'll get a taxi right away. There's plenty on the corner.
Would you like me to come along with you, Bill?
Oh, I don't think it's necessary.
No trouble at all. Just in case you need a hand.
Can you stand up all right, Mrs. Vernon?
Yes.
Hang on to me.
I'll go and see if Guy's got a taxi.
Is there anything I should give her, Doctor?
Just rest. I'm sure she'll be perfectly recovered by morning.
I feel all right. Really,
I do. Taxi's here, Bill.
Oh, thank you, Aubrey. Oh, come on, darling. The taxi's here. Well, good night, Doctor. Good night, Miss Frayle.
Good night.
Good night.
I'm sure Mrs. Reynolds will soon be better.
Oh, good night, Sonia. I'm so sorry about
do,
all this.
Do forgive me for breaking up the party.
Good night, Helen. I'll phone you in the morning. And now, I suppose, Dr. Morell, you still think that horrible ruby can't affect people.
Well, where did Mr. Hampton put it? Oh, it's there in the case.
My answer remains the same as before, Mrs. Hampton. You cannot blame its presence for the room's overheated temperature, which contributed towards the fainting attack.
Oh, poor thing. She did go out suddenly.
Sorry about that, Dr. Morell, Miss Frayle.
Is Helen all right?
Yes, she's gone home with Bill and Aubrey.
Aubrey?
Yes, Helen.
I see.
He thought Helen might need his help.
Oh, well. But, Guy, for the last time, before anything really terrible happens, will you get rid of it?
By the way, where is it?
Oh, it's in its little case.
Oh, did you put it there?
No, I thought you did. What is it?
Guy?
It isn't here. The ruby's gone.
Well, this is it, Doctor. The Reynolds house.
Wait for us, driver.
Okay, sir.
Come along, Miss Frayle.
Oh, I can't think why all this mad rush, Dr. Murray.
No, Miss Frayle.
No, I mean, well, where's the doorbell? Oh, you've rung it. I mean, well, if Mr. Reynolds took it or his wife, well, they must have come back home, so they're bound to be there.
Oh, hello, Dr. Morell.
Hello, Mr. Green.
I was just going.
How's Mrs. Reynolds?
I thought I'd come along to see that all was well.
Helen's much better. She'll be quite fit tomorrow.
Oh, I'm so glad.
She's upstairs with her husband.
You were about to leave?
Yes, I was. I heard the bell, you see.
We've got a taxi. Perhaps we could give you a lift.
No, I don't suppose I'm going your way.
Oh, no. Perhaps you're not.
In any case, I'd sooner walk, you know, get some fresh air.
I wonder if you'd be good enough to mention to Mrs. Reynolds that I'm here.
Yes, of course.
Who's there, Aubrey?
Oh, that's Bill coming down now.
Oh. Oh, it's you, Dr. Morell. And Miss Rail.
How's your wife?
Helen's... Well, I wasn't expecting, Doctor...
No, I called in case Mrs. Reynolds wanted any further attention.
No, she's all right. That is,
what is it, Bill?
You look a little pale yourself.
It's the shock, I suppose. And now you turning up, Dr. Morrell.
Oh, we didn't mean to bother you.
Oh, no, of course not. Not that. It's only that... Well, since you're here, Doctor, you might as well know.
Your wife isn't really ill?
She's not ill, Miss Frayle. She's... Look at that, Dr. Morrell.
Quite interesting.
The black ruby.
But how did... Where did that come from?
Well, you see, Doctor, I've had a bit of a business setback. Oh, it'll work out all right, but Helen was somehow scared that I'd had it. Went on about not being able to face giving up everything. I tried to explain that we weren't going to end up in the gutter, that it'd work out, but... Well, there it was.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Then, before we came out tonight, she started talking about this ruby. Some idea that if only it was ours, I'd be saved from ruin. I didn't think that she was serious. And then I realized that she was. That she had some idea of getting hold of it.
Well, there really is the evil eye on that thing, isn't there? It's brought nothing but trouble.
I think you've got something there. Here, Dr. Morrell, you'd better take it.
Thank you.
Oh, Doctor, don't touch it.
I am convinced, Miss Frayle, that I'm impervious to its baleful powers. I don't think it'll burn a hole in my pocket.
Oh, dear.
She must have slipped it into the pocket of her dress, and then...
You mean she pretended to pass out as a cover-up?
Oh, I suppose so.
Oh, she certainly acted the part very well. I wouldn't have dreamed she was faking it.
I know. It isn't like her at all.
Her faint wasn't pretense, but perfectly genuine. I should have thought that was apparent enough.
I'm sure of it, poor thing.
Well, perhaps it was the strain after she'd realized what she'd done.
It could be.
And what makes it worse, Doctor, is that when I found it, she pretended that she didn't know about it, that it must have got there by mistake. Or
what?
That I had stolen it.
And it was the shock of its discovery and her belief that you were responsible which caused her to faint?
Yes, I suppose so. Of course, it's ludicrous. I wasn't even sitting next to her.
Oh, no, you were sitting next to me.
Where is your wife?
Oh, she's gone to bed. She won't speak to me until I've returned the ruby to Guy Hampton and admitted that I took it.
And you propose doing that?
So what else would you expect me to do? Even if she'd admitted taking it herself.
That reveals a very commendable side to your nature. But your self-sacrifice is hardly necessary.
What do you mean?
Merely that by your action, you would be shielding the wrong person.
Wrong person?
It wasn't your wife who took the ruby. It
wasn't Helen? Well, then who?
Who, Dr. Moore?
Are
you absolutely gasping for that fresh air, Mr. Green?
Well, I only...
Didn't it occur to you, Mr. Reynolds, that Mr. Green's interest in your wife's welfare was a trifle overdone?
What do you mean?
What are you getting at, Doctor?
From the amount of attention you were giving Mrs. Hampton during dinner, I should have thought you made it apparent where your interest lay.
Look here, Dr. Morelli.
Added to which, it was Mrs. Reynolds to whom you sat next after dinner. It was you who slipped that ruby into our pocket.
What?
With the intention of recovering it from her subsequently.
Why, you rotten...
When your wife detected its presence, Mr. Reynolds, she mistakenly believed you to have taken it and fainted from shock. That was why Mr. Green switched his attentions to her and insisted upon accompanying her home.
That's true. You've never shown any interest in Helen before. It's always Sonia that you've chased. Well, the idea of leaving her just to help me see my wife home is utterly phony.
Well, I suppose I'd better act the gentleman and admit it. You're bang on the target, Dr. Morrell. I did take it.
Oh, how awful.
Why?
I'm sorry. I'm a bit broke, that's all. It was just a sudden impulse. A crazy idea. I can't say how deeply I regret it.
You'd have let Helen take the blame.
Oh, that was just bad luck. I meant to get it away from her in the taxi.
Oh, what a swine you are.
So, what are you going to do about it, Dr. Morrell?
That remains a matter for Mr. Hampton to decide. Meanwhile, I'll leave him to your tender mercies, Mr. Reynolds, whilst I return the ruby.
I'll take care of him, all right.
Come along, Miss Frayle.
Yes, Doctor, I'm coming. Isn't the taxi driver going a bit fast, Doctor?
Is he, Miss Frayle? I hadn't noticed.
Oh, well. What a horrid man that Mr. Green is, Dr. Morrell. Do you think Mr. Hampton will put the police on to him?
It's unlikely. I fancy he'll prefer to avoid any scandal that might result.
Really? Does this taxi have to take the corners on two wheels? After all, we've got the precious ruby now.
If it makes you nervous, Miss Frayle, you might ask the driver to slacken speed a trifle.
Yes, I think I will. Doctor, that car! Oh.
Are you uninjured, Miss Frayle?
Yes, Doctor, I think so. Are you?
You all right in here?
Well, it isn't your fault if we are.
That car, the way it come round that corner.
Oh, I
expect it couldn't be helped, driver. The ruby, Dr. Morell. It's the black ruby.
Oh, I'm sure I'm very sorry.
What are you talking about?
But don't you see? The hoodoo.
Really, Miss Frail?
The evil eye. It's working. Oh, please, let's get it back to Sir Hampton quick, before both of us are killed or something dreadful.
Do calm yourself.
It's the black ruby. Disaster and death. That's what it brings to anyone who has it. Disaster and death.
Into my study, Dr. Morell. You've been very quick.
Oh, not quick enough, Mr. Hampton, I can tell you.
Oh, what do you mean? Here, sit down, Miss Frail. You look a bit shaken.
Not quick enough to get that horrible ruby back to you.
What do you mean, you've got it?
Of course Dr. Morell's got it. He's brought it back with him.
But it's marvelous, Doctor. Who'd taken it?
As I suspected, when I observed that young man become suddenly solicitous towards Mrs. Reynolds.
Aubrey Green. Yes, I noticed him change his interest to Helen. Why, the rotten crook. Wait till I tell Sonia this. She's gone to bed. She's pretty upset.
I understand.
Oh, Doctor, do please give it to him.
Very well. Miss Frail.
What is it?
What's wrong, Doctor?
I somehow fancy you'll have a further item of news with which to acquaint your wife. Look.
Oh, the ruby.
Smashed to pieces.
It must have happened in the taxi crash.
Taxi crash?
Yes, our taxi hit a car or a car hit us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was thrown against the door.
Well, it's all to do with the ruby.
But that's just it. It can't be the black ruby at all.
What?
A genuine ruby is terribly hard to break.
Precisely.
That chap in Bombay I got it from. When he came round to my hotel after I'd seen the jeweler, he must have switched the real black ruby with a fake.
No doubt that has occurred.
It isn't the black ruby after all.
So there was no hoodoo, no evil eye on it. The aircraft, the chandelier.
The taxi.
Nothing to do with it.
Perhaps this will at any rate convince your wife that the only injury anyone can suffer, the evil eye or hoodoo powers, is that which they bring upon themselves for believing in such foolish superstition.
That was another adventure in a BBC series featuring Ernest Dudley's famous character, Dr. Morell, and, of course, his secretary, Miss Frail. The artists taking part were Dr. Morell, Cecil Parker, Miss Frail, Sheila Sim, Guy Hampton, Norman Woolland, Sonia Hampton, Virginia Winter, Helen Reynolds, Louise Gainsborough, Bill Reynolds, Richard Bebb, Aubrey Green, Desmond Carrington, an airline captain and other parts, John Baker. This recorded program was produced by Leslie Bridgemont.